From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
It's 88 degrees in Lawrence, 97 in Chanute. It is 6:06.
From NPR News. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, we are always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, we are going to learn about a problem with ICE agents using racial slurs as they attempt to arrest people, to detain them. We will also find out more about the fight against prediction market sites, why some states are having serious discussions about banning them. It's all coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Join us for the 780 Songwriter Circle, presented by the Lawrence Public Library, KPR, and the Lawrence Music Alliance, hosted by Chris Mola, featuring local artists Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids, Heidi Gluck, and Chris Chrissy of the Appleseed Cast, at Lawrence Public Library, September 9th, 6 p.m.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly cloudy skies tonight, a 50% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms after midnight. It's going to be humid with a low around 70 degrees. Tomorrow we have a 40% chance of showers and storms, mostly in the morning, but all day it's going to be humid with highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, humid, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the lower 70s. Still humid on Friday, but mostly sunny. And we're expecting a high in the upper 80s. It's 88 degrees in Lawrence, 88 in Atchison, 85 in Manhattan. The time is 6:20.
Support for This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Apple TV's adaptation of Cape Fear streams its final episode this week. Actor Javier Bardem has won praise for his cerebral take on Max Cady, the manipulative bad guy with vengeance on his mind. You are so creepy in this show.
I love Why? Being creepy. Why not be creepy?
My conversation with Javier Bardem tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. That's the time for Morning Edition, a great way to start off your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events in its new speakeasy space with a quintessentially Lawrence feel at 1026 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence. Venue and booking information online at maselli's.com.
News headlines are coming up next. The time is 6:30.
Extra lights and wearing light-colored, loose-fitting clothing. But if someone does fall ill to heat stroke, CASA says there's a simple and effective protocol to follow.
It's cool first, transport second.
He says people need to be treated in the first 30 minutes to prevent death and have the best outcome. That means before an ambulance arrives. Immediate immersion in cold water is the way to go. He says even a lake or a stream is a good option. Scott Newman, NPR News.
You are listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. A Kansas woman is suing Taco Bell after she allegedly contracted cyclosporiasis from food there. Daniel Caudle has the details.
Nicole Belote of Hutchinson allegedly became ill after eating a Taco Supreme earlier this month. She was hospitalized for 3 days with symptoms like diarrhea, vomiting, and a severe migraine. Belote has the respiratory disease COPD, and the illness made her so dehydrated that it allegedly affected her lungs. Thousands of people in the U.S. have gotten sick due to the Cyclospora parasite outbreak, including at least 460 people in Kansas. Federal officials have linked the outbreak to shredded lettuce produced by Taylor Farms and sold at Taco Bell locations in several states. Taco Bell says it has since removed all affected lettuce from its stores. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudle.
The city of Topeka could cut down on police presence in schools next year. The city pays for most of the salary costs for the school resource officers present in Topeka schools, while the district covers a smaller share. City budget shortfalls and the fact that the district has its own police force already are behind this proposal. Now, Topeka is not the only city reconsidering resource officer staffing. The city of Lawrence cut 2 school resource officers last year. Elizabeth Miller has a child in the Topeka school district and says safety should be a top priority.
This is a shock to hear that this would even be an option.
The Topeka City Council will discuss the potential changes on August 11th. The Kansas City Chiefs are planning to continue with St. Joseph, Missouri as their training camp site until their new practice facility is completed in Olathe. Greg Eklund reports from St. Joe.
Not until the practice facility is completely done will the Chiefs plan to train there before the season. Team President Mark Donovan says their vision for the practice facility somewhat mirrors that of the new stadium.
We said, think about the practice facility as you've got to build the absolute best, most functional, efficient place where we can conduct our work. It also has to be fan-facing, and we've got a real estate development around it that could include a high school football stadium, an indoor sports facility, and real estate.
The practice facility in Olathe in the new stadium in Wyandotte County are both projected to be completed for the 2031 season. I'm Greg Eklund.
An investigation is underway following an overnight fire at the Panasonic battery plant in DeSoto. Just after 2 a.m. today, crews were sent to the facility. KSNT reports that when fire crews arrived, Panasonic personnel had already evacuated the building. Firefighters found smoke inside the facility and determined the fire involved batteries stored in battery racks inside a testing area. The fire was contained. No injuries were reported.
This is All Things Halfway Over. So we looked to see what some of Morning Edition's most popular stories have been about so far this year. The answer was joy.
Like, it's the family, it's the joy.
The crafters reported higher levels of happiness and life.
That arts engagement was related to 4% slower aging rate.
Morning Edition brings you the news to keep you informed, but we also bring you something vital every weekday.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. for Morning Edition. Get your shot of vital joy and the latest news with your KPR stations. Again, that's 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. Join us for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from the Stiefel Theater with Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, Friday, August 7th, celebrating their album Woodland and performances on Stephen Colbert and NPR's Tiny Desk. StiefelTheater.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence or 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for making room in your day for KPR. Coming up at 7:01 on your KPR One station's news headlines, followed by Stardate. Then 2 hours of classical music at 9 o'clock. We'll have Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR2, coming your way at 7 o'clock, we have the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
50% chance of showers and a slight chance of storms late tonight. It's going to be humid overnight, lows around 70. Humid tomorrow with a 40% chance of rain and a high in the upper 80s.
Fraport in creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And from Progressive Insurance, offering a variety of insurance options, from auto and home to boat and RV, with online tools for quotes and claims. Coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. This is NPR.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, we report on history as we know it and as it's happening. Connect the latest headlines back to the past every morning on NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is the name of the program. Matthew Algio will have your local news.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Up next, we have news headlines at 7:01, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music, followed by Jazz in the Night, beginning at 9 o'clock.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at NuvantHouse.com.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living with 5 locations across eastern Kansas in Topeka, Osage City, Iola, Emporia, and El Dorado, working to empower persons with disabilities. More at rcilinc.org.
50% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms late tonight. Very humid overnight, lows around 70. Humid again tomorrow with a high in the upper 80s. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Federal Reserve held its benchmark interest rate steady today, as most investors had expected. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the central bank left the door open to raise rates in the future if inflation remains elevated.
This was the second rate-setting meeting led by Kevin Warsh, who took over as chairman of the central bank in May. Warsh told lawmakers this month he and his colleagues are determined to restore price stability after 5 years of uncomfortably high inflation. That task has been made harder by the U.S. war with Iran, which has triggered a spike in energy prices. Gasoline prices have moderated from their wartime peak this spring, but renewed fighting around the Strait of Hormuz could keep pump prices elevated for months to come. 3 members of the Fed's rate-setting committee dissented from today's decision, saying they would have preferred to raise the benchmark rate by a quarter percentage point. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Dr. Anthony Fauci will face a contempt of Congress vote in a Senate committee next week after he invoked the Fifth Amendment in a hearing about his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and the origins of it. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul led the charge to have the now-retired infectious disease expert testify. Fauci declined to answer dozens of questions from senators.
Any reasonable person who has followed his unhinged obsession with me would readily come to the same conclusion. Therefore, although it pains me to do so, because of the respect I have for the legislative branch of government and my decades-long record of cooperating with Congress, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you.
Paul told CBS News he believes Fauci could be prosecuted for not answering questions during the hearing. Chinese-founded Shein, the massive fast fashion online retailer, says its U.S. operations are under the investigation of the Federal Trade Commission. NPR's Alina Selyuk reports the disclosure came as part of Shein's application to list its shares publicly on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange.
Shein over the years has faced numerous inquiries in the U.S. and in Europe, often focused on its supply chain and workplace conditions. Last year, for example, Shein told British lawmakers that it had found 2 cases of child labor at its factories. At the time, Sheehan was aiming to list its shares in London, which did not work out. Sheehan also had tried and failed to do an IPO in New York. Now it's going for Hong Kong, and its financial disclosures had to report the new investigation by the U.S. Federal Trade Commission. The FTC confirmed the probe to NPR, but its focus and timing are unclear. Sheehan says the result could mean significant fines. Alina Sieluch, NPR News.
Oil prices jumped again, and the Fed's decision to keep interest rates steady sent stocks sliding. This is NPR News.
Stardate July 29th. Saturn feels like it has a big region of the early morning sky practically to itself right now. The giant planet climbs into good view after midnight and stands high in the south at first light. It looks like a bright golden star. You have to scan a long way in every direction to find another planet or star that rivals it. Saturn is traveling through Pisces, skimming along the border with Cetus. That region of the sky is well below the Milky Way, the hazy band of light that outlines the disk of the Milky Way galaxy. When we look at the Milky Way, we're looking into the most heavily populated part of the galaxy. So not only are there a lot more stars in and around that band, there are a lot more bright stars. At the same time, Saturn's location is a quarter of the way around the sky from the center of the galaxy, which is in Sagittarius. Again, that means we're looking into more thinly settled parts of the galaxy. It's like looking toward the suburbs of a major city instead of its busy downtown. There's just a lot less to see. Saturn is so far from the Sun that it takes the planet about 30 years to make one full circle against the starry background. So the planet will stay in this dimly settled region of the sky for a couple of years, making it especially easy to find as you look into the darkness. Tomorrow, bright mile markers for measuring the scale of the universe. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, in Calaveras County, in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Biased. Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. So glad to be with you. Glad to be listening to music together. Well, to get to Maurice Ravel and Claude Debussy, when it comes to pianistic technique, you gotta go through this guy, Emmanuel Chabrier, first. He was the forerunner of this idea where the piano, pianoforte as it was called at the time, could be treated almost like an orchestra. He kind of reinvented a way of looking at the piano and what it could do. Here's some of the best evidence of that. It's the Boré Fantasque. Thank you. Nema Yervi, leading the Orchestre de la Suisse Romande, performing the Boré Fantasque by Emmanuel Chabrier. We're on a gallop through the streets of Birmingham, coming up next.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Lawrence Farmers Market, open since 1976, celebrating its 50th birthday on August 8th from 7:30 to 11:30 a.m. at 824 New Hampshire Street. More at lawrencefarmersmarket.org. And the University of Kansas, a constellation of campuses working to improve lives in Kansas and beyond through health research, public safety training, workforce development, natural resource protection, and more. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is light and variable from the east-northeast. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 82 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Composer Franz Schubert liked a good galop. It's a French word that looks like gallop. There's a P at the end, as of course you know, in French you don't pronounce the last letter. Unless the following word starts with a vowel. That's just a little trivia to pull out at parties for you. That's more or less exactly what it is. It's a gallop. It's a race to the finish line. And you'll hear it in the finale of this piece, Schubert's Symphony No. 2. Edward Gardner leading the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra, racing through the Gallo to conclude the Symphony No. 2 by Franz Schubert. A song from a timbalero, coming up next.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, providing primary care, dental, mental health, or help with a chronic condition. Heartland accepts all patients, including Medicare. More information at heartlandhealth.org. And the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, presenting Dom Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops in Lawrence's South Park, Sunday, August 23rd. More information at fidpick.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 82 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Here's music from Cuban-American composer, jazz trumpeter, pianist, and timbalero, Arturo Sandoval. A timbalero, as of course you know, is one who plays timbales, shallow single-headed drums with a metal casing. Sandoval wrote this next piece for a dear friend, the harpist Yolanda Condonasis. She released a project called 5 Minutes for Earth. This was an extra track from that. It's called Wildflower, Yolanda's Song. That's how she knew it was for her. piece by Arturo Sandoval called Wildflower, Yolanda's Song, written for and performed by Yolanda Candanasas. I'm guessing that must be a pretty nice feeling. Athiga Backer-Grøndahl, one of the cornerstones of Norwegian classical music, wrote more than 400 pieces for piano, voice, choir, and orchestra. Oh, and by the way, she did it while raising three kids, which is, as they say, not nothing. Here's her summer song from Fantasy Pieces, performed by the Iceland Symphony Orchestra.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 82 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
What are you growing in your garden these days? Maybe you keep it simple, flowers and herbs. Or maybe you're growing food for your family or other families. The zucchini plants are just coming ripe. Have you ever tried growing a black hole? How about quarks and fractals? The American landscape architect Charles Jenks designed a garden in Scotland. Name the different parts after different cosmological concepts. And that garden inspired this music. Songs for Outer Space, coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. military says it's launching strikes on Iranian targets a day after it thwarted a missile attack on American forces in Jordan. In a statement, U.S. Central Command says, quote, the strikes are a powerful response to yesterday's attempted Iranian attacks on U.S. forces based in the Middle East. The escalation comes after a period of calm and has sent oil prices climbing again. Republicans threatened repercussions after Anthony Fauci repeatedly invoked the Fifth Amendment rather than answer questions during a contentious Senate hearing over COVID-19 today. NPR's Jonathan Lambert has more.
Here's basically how Senator Paul summarized it.
Publicly, Anthony Fauci promoted the theory that the virus arose naturally, while privately, he was well aware of a mountain of evidence suggesting the virus originated in the lab.
Scientists I've spoken with dispute that characterization. They say that the senator is cherry-picking examples from early in the pandemic when there was a lot of confusion and scientists were constantly updating what they were thinking based on new evidence. Now, most virologists think that evidence supports the virus jumping from an animal to a human, not from a lab.
NPR's Jonathan Lambert reporting. Todd Blanche's nomination to become attorney general has stalled. Key Republicans have demanded more assurances about the settlement that gave President Trump and members of his family protection from tax audits. The Senate Judiciary Committee had been scheduled to vote tomorrow to advance Blanche's nomination to the floor, but Republican Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis have threatened to withhold their support. Attorneys general from 44 states are calling on the administration to crack down on the booming prediction market industry. NPR's Bobby Allen reports.
The Trump administration is currently rewriting the federal rules for the prediction market industry. Companies like Kalshi and Polymarket that have thrived in Trump's second term. And Trump officials want them regulated by the federal government as a type of financial investment product, not gambling. But a newly public letter sent by 44 states sends a clear message to regulators in Washington. State officials view prediction markets as having made an end run around state laws and state taxes, especially when it comes to sports betting, which accounts for most of the billions of dollars wagered on Kalshi and Polymarket. But other topics are popular too, like politics and elections. $200 million has already been wagered on the sites ahead of the midterms. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
OpenAI's unintended hacking attack of another AI company was more extensive than initially reported. In an update about its investigation, the ChatGPT maker says its rogue program also broke into several publicly available services like code paste websites and screenshot services. The incident took place during a test of OpenAI's models in a supposedly inescapable lab environment, but the program broke out of the so-called sandbox and gained access to the internet. U.S. stocks fell today. This is NPR News.
Radiation therapy. As new standards come, how do we know they're any better?
Hi, my name is Ashley Maller, and I'm a master's student at Kansas State University studying nuclear engineering. And my research evolves around observing dose discrepancies that may arise during radiotherapy treatments in cancer patients.
Discrepancies exist with radiation therapy. When we talk about a targeted dose in clinical settings versus what's ideal.
In the clinical setting, we actually have the dose calculated based on an average. However, that's not necessarily what actually happens within the body.
So how do we know what happens in the body?
So imagine if we took your own body and we put it into a computational computer code, and then we are able to accurately measure and follow the transport of particles throughout your body.
There are many different computer models. And your research addresses the differences between them.
Yes. And I specifically look at these two International Commission on Radiation Protection models because that is what is used to calculate our standards in the United States. The first is ICRP Publication 110, which is a voxel-based model. And then the next is ICRP Publication 145, which is a mesh-based model. So for the voxel one, think of a bunch of Lego blocks blocking out your body. And then for the mesh one, think of your actual body. So the voxel has this limitation of being blocks, whereas the mesh is able to shape these smooth surfaces.
So you found that the newer model is indeed more accurate.
Yes, and able to model organs that we couldn't even model when ICRP Publication 110 came out. And the hope is to create a better software modeling for all the different clinical settings to get accurate dose measurements within the body.
Learn more about research at Kansas State University by visiting k-state.edu/news or visit our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Jake Armbruding. Glad to be with you. Glad to be listening to music together. The great Florence Price wrote this next piece for a musician named Memory Midget. Now, this was a woman who could not be stopped. She started out as a classically trained pianist, actually studied with Price, then became a successful jazz pianist and vocalist, performing with Billie Holiday. Then she was in a car crash, had to change careers. She went back to school, got her bachelor's in psych and a master's degree in public health, taught high school, finally wound up chief administrator for the Department of Public Health in San Francisco. And what have I been doing with my life? That is fantastic. Here's a piece called Summer Moon. The Solemn Quartet, Summer Moon by Florence Price. Have you ever tried growing a black hole, or maybe some quarks? The architect Charles Jenks wrote a book called The Garden of Cosmic Speculation after a landscape garden that he designed in Scotland, and he named the parts after different cosmological and scientific concepts. Then composer Michael Gandolfi comes along and writes a bunch of short pieces based on the book. Soliton Waves, Black Hole Terrace, The Quark Walk, The Universe Cascade, The Zero Room, Fractal Terrace, and the one you and I are about to hear, The Garden of the Senses Suite. You want to try to get access to your inner outer space nerd for this one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Spano leading the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra featuring some birds. The Garden of the Senses Suite from The Garden of Cosmic Speculation by Michael Gandolfi. The Land of the Arctic Sun, coming up next.
Support for classical music comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living. With 5 locations across eastern Kansas and Topeka, Osage City, Iola, Emporia, and El Dorado. Working to empower persons with disabilities. More at rcilinc.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 82 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
the Norrköping Symphony Orchestra performing Flowers from Froso by Wilhelm Petersen Berger, about the summers in northern Sweden where the sun never sets. William Schumann plays William Billings, coming up.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 82 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 81 and mostly cloudy. Wind is light and variable from the northeast. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 81 and mostly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Todd Blanche's nomination to become attorney general has stalled. Key Republicans have demanded more assurances about the settlement that gave President Trump and members of his family protection from tax audits. The Senate Judiciary Committee had been scheduled to vote tomorrow to advance Blanche's nomination to the floor, but it's been delayed. But Republican Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis have threatened to withhold their support. Stocks fell today after the Federal Reserve held interest rates steady. NPR's Scott Horsley reports all of the major stock indexes tumbled more than 1.5%.
The Federal Reserve's rate-setting committee voted 9-3 to leave the central bank's benchmark interest rate unchanged. The three dissenters said they would have preferred a quarter-point rate increase in an effort to curb stubborn inflation. Fed Chairman Kevin Warsh notes that market-based interest rates are already climbing, even though the Fed's benchmark hasn't changed. That's encouraging for Warsh, who wants the Fed to play a smaller role in the U.S. economy.
After all, the central bank need not always and everywhere be the center of attention.
With inflation still elevated and the war with Iran still rattling energy markets, investors see a better-than-even chance that the Fed will raise interest rates at its next policy meeting in September. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The U.S. military says it's launching strikes on Iranian targets a day after it thwarted a missile attack on American forces in Jordan. NPR's Jane Araf says the escalation comes after a lull in fighting.
The U.S. and Iran paused those attacks to give diplomacy a chance, meaning messages were being exchanged through mediators. But early Wednesday, which is Tuesday evening, U.S. time, Iran fired ballistic missiles at U.S. military installations on Jordanian bases. One of them, Iran said, was a military command and control center. So CENTCOM, the U.S. military, said this was a surprise attack. And President Trump told Fox News, in words we frankly cannot repeat on air, that the U.S. would give Iran a beating.
NPR's Jane Araf reporting. The Trump administration is ending subsidies for Medicare drug plans. NPR's Sydney Lupkin reports some seniors will face higher premiums.
Under the Inflation Reduction Act, Medicare started capping patients' out-of-pocket drug spending at $2,000 last year. That change, and others that changed how plans would pay for drugs, meant insurers were on the hook for more money. At first, they didn't know how much more they'd be spending or how high to set premiums. To ease the transition for insurers, the Biden administration created temporary subsidies to stabilize premiums. The subsidies were expected to last 3 years, but are ending a year early at the end of 2026. Dr. Mehmet Oz, who oversees the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, said on the social media platform X that it's because the subsidies are no longer needed. But the change means beneficiaries could be paying higher monthly premiums next year. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
It's NPR. Elon Musk's social media company X has launched X Money, a bank account-like service for users to send money to each other. Musk aims to turn X into an everything app, entering a market dominated by services like Venmo and Cash App. Meta's share price slumped in after-hours trading after the company reported weaker-than-expected profits. As NPR's John Ruch reports, the social media giant's revenue hit a record, but AI spending spooked investors.
Seen one way, Meta had a pretty good quarter. Its revenue rose 28% year-on-year to a record $60.8 billion, and it turned a multi-billion-dollar profit. But its spending on artificial intelligence is growing quickly, and that's making investors nervous. The company's costs and expenses were up 55% during the quarter, and it raised the bottom end of an expected range for capital expenditures, or CapEx, this year. That's an indicator of how much it expects to spend building AI data centers. On an analyst call, CEO Mark Zuckerberg made the case that AI is helping Meta across its businesses, like Instagram and Facebook. But the news prompted investors to sell, pushing Meta's share price down by as much as 11%. John Ruich, NPR News.
Major League Baseball's Seattle Mariners have announced a Jimothy night for their game next Wednesday. It's in honor of a curious raccoon from the city's Ballard neighborhood that's believed to have a rare congenital spinal deformity, though he's surprisingly agile and appears to be thriving. Fans can get a Mariners Jimothy t-shirt, and the first 20,000 in the stadium will get an exclusive Jimothy rookie card. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
Thank you. The Chicoria tune, 500 Miles High, from the new album by trombonist Conrad Herwig called The Latin Side of Chicoria, opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. What a terrific band. Saxophonist Craig Handy, trumpeter Alex Norris, pianist Bill O'Connell with Ruben Rodriguez bass, Robbie Amin drums, and the conga drumming of Mauricio Herrera. We'll hear more from this one later this hour. It's the Wednesday night, 9 o'clock hour, time for our almost always every week, weekly new release spotlight hour. I bring you two tracks each from four of the best new albums. And who the heck is talking to you? I'm Bob McWilliams, your host for Jazz in the Night. On the way, the new one from trumpeter and singer Bria Skoneberg, her second album in just the last few months, and the new one from the wonderful Brazilian composer, arranger, pianist Antonio Adolfo. But right now, it is the baritone saxophonist Lee Pilzer. And let us hear the title track to her new album. It's called Keep Holding On.